The president has been trying to get congressional support for the across-the-board tax cut, a main part of his budget plan. Republicans are using a weakening economy to sell the tax cut, but commentator Amity Schles says it's unlikely the party can provide the right level of incentives to stop a recession.
Tax cuts are a good thing for growth, but economists' ability to fine-tune their work just isn't that precise. In fact, there are some good economic reasons for tax cuts. But there is an even stronger moral argument. The moral argument says the same standards that hold in private life should apply where taxes are concerned. When you offer justifications or make promises, you should stand by your commitment. And when it comes to taxes, there is a commitment that has yet to be kept. Back in 1986, Congress made the top tax rate 28%. Then came an unexpected emergency, the widening deficit. President Bush, the father of the current president, decided he had to raise taxes to stop the red ink. He required the wealthy to make a sacrifice, raising their rate to 31%. But President Bush Sr. also said the tax hike was to reduce the deficit. His successors in the Clinton administration also used the deficit argument to turn to the wealthy for one-time help. In his book, The Agenda, Bob Woodward says that National Economic Advisor Robert Rubin told colleagues that you can't say we're going to make the rich pay more taxes. You've got to say we will ask the well-to-do to pay their share. And the well-to-do sure kept their side of the bargain, or more. In 1990, the top 1% of households in America paid 25% of all the income taxes. By 1998, they were paying nearly 35%. Fast forward to 2001. The deficit justification is gone. We have projections of surplus, trillions of surplus. So isn't it time for the government to pay the wealthy people back? And isn't that what the new President Bush plans? Not quite. His plan brings the top rate down to 33% from almost 40%. This is good, but it isn't a return to Mr. Reagan's 28%. You could argue that no president should be held to the commitments of a predecessor, even his father. But voters don't always think in terms of individual office holders. They think of the government and whether it betrays them. And as Ralph Nader's campaign showed, political disillusionment can hurt Democrats as well as Republicans. Seen in this context, the trouble with the tax plan is not that it goes too far. It is that it doesn't go far enough.
The comments of Amity Schles, a columnist for Financial Times.